Hands up who has ever experienced joy. Great, super, that's encouraging. Hands up who would like to experience more joy. It's sort of addictive, isn't it? We actually love to be joyful. We love to be happy. There are so many things to be addicted to in this world, and all of them have very serious negative consequences, except one. The joy of the Lord. Life in Jesus Christ. But joy is truly addictive. The more joy you experience, the more joy you want. One Christian author, Frederick Buchner, said that joy is in our lifeblood. It's in our DNA. Joy is who we are. Joy is the reason why crowds of people followed Jesus. Joy is the reason why I became a Christian. At the age of 14, in my local church, there was a thing called the Wednesday Night Fellowship. It was once called the Youth Fellowship, and then everyone got 10 years older. But they loved being together so much that they just kept meeting together. So by the time my friends and I arrived, we were about 14 or 15. Nearly everyone else was in their late teens and 20s. But they just continued to meet together and worship together and hang out together and enjoy the Lord together and each other's company together. And I have to be straight and honest here. The reason why my mates and I went was because my mates fancied two girls who were in the Wednesday Night Fellowship, and I was just a saddo who went along with them. And they did end up actually finding love in the Wednesday Night Fellowship, but that's totally as an aside. But the important thing is that actually all of us, the three of us young fellas, found Jesus Christ. Because in that place, we saw such joy in those people. And I know for myself, I just thought, I want what they have, because I don't have what they have. And I couldn't even have described, and you know, at the time, I wouldn't even have known what it was. I just knew that there was something that this group of people had, corporately and individually, that I really wanted. And looking back now, I know what it was. It was the joy of Jesus Christ in their lives. The Bible is full of joy. It's bursting with joy. There are 13 Hebrew words in the Old Testament that mean joy. We translate them in lots of different ways in English. Merriment, gladness, happy, laughter, wonder, exuberance, exulting, praise, worship, shout, sing, delight, blessed, dancing. Psalm 30 says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing." The Bible is full of joy. One Scottish theologian, James Denny, says, "The New Testament is the most buoyant, exhilarating, and joyful book in the world." The Hebrew poetry, the Psalms, and other pieces of poetry have this wonderful invitation where they describe creation itself as being in the midst of a continuous worship song to God. Psalm 96. "Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming." There's so many of the Psalms go that way. You know, there's the trees of the fields clap their hands, the fields sing out for joy. Wonderful metaphorical language, and yet there's this constant invitation. And I suppose what it's saying is this. It's saying, as human beings look at each other, and they're saying, get caught up in the joy of the Lord. Do you not see the joy and beauty of creation that declares the greatness of God? The Bible is saying, what are we waiting for? Why aren't we as joyful? Get caught up in the joy of the Lord. is what the Bible says again and again. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Be full of joy. It's a decision. We had our hands up. Do you want more joy? It's totally in your hands. Joy in Christ is a decision that we make. We start with the four songs, start of the service. Why? It gives us an opportunity to sing our hearts out. Because we're joyful? Perhaps. Because we want more joy? Definitely. The reason why I sing my heart out every week is because I want more joy. Don't let your worship depend on how joyful you feel. The secret of worship is sing your heart out to God at all times, and you will discover joy. Don't wait for the joy as a feeling to come. You'll be waiting all your life. Claim the joy of the Lord and worship in Jesus Christ. It's a decision, and there's only one person who can make the decision, and it's you. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. When Jesus was born, there was acclamations of joy. The angels said to the shepherds, shouted, proclaimed, sang, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people." Jesus, on the night before he died, said to his disciples, "I promise to give you joy that will overflow. I will give you peace. I will give you my love." And so, the most joyful man who ever lives, Jesus Christ, was followed by multitudes because he was so joyful. Let's not miss the fact that in these 9 months, as we study Matthew chapter 5 to 7 and read all about the Jesus lifestyle, why were there crowds in front of Jesus? How come people couldn't get enough of him? Well, the end of Matthew chapter 4 tells us exactly why. And Matthew purposely puts at the end of chapter 4 why the crowds were there, because he's about to launch into Jesus' explanation of living a joyful life to the crowd. But there would have been no crowd had there been no joy in Jesus. The most joyful, powerful man who ever lived had a crowd around him because he was so joyful and he was so powerful. So, end of chapter 4, Matthew. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Think about how many stories Jesus told that were full of rejoicing, parties, celebration on earth and in heaven. It must have been fantastic to go and listen to Jesus, because he was constantly telling stories about parties. And quite often he was telling those stories in the midst of parties. I think the Lord would issue us an invitation in Northern Ireland as followers of Jesus. Come and experience my joy. The other reason why the crowds followed Jesus was because he healed them. He healed every kind of disease and illness, Matthew says. News spread about him as far as Syria. The people soon began bringing to him all who were sick, and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. If we, as a church in Northern Ireland, would hope to see crowds, there are two things that will need to happen. Joy and power. But interestingly, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so joy leads to power. Because joy is an expression of faith. We don't do it because we feel like it. We do it as a matter of faith. One of the privileges I have, and yet one of the challenges, is that I often get to see the deepest pain of this church family. But in the last 48 hours, two families have lost a loved one. That in the last week, there's been at least one diagnosis of serious cancer. Of marriages breaking down. Of depression. Of people miserable in their place of employment. Of people deeply concerned about their children or grandchildren. Of people struggling financially. We're not joyful in life because life is easy for us. If we were, we will make no impact on the world because we'll just be as miserable as everybody else. The type of joy Jesus is talking about is a robust joy that the world cannot touch, and yet which touches the world with such transformational power that here we are today, over 2,000 years later, talking about a man who lived such a life of joy and power that we have never experienced anyone like him. And Jesus said to his followers, you and me, you will overflow with my joy. So how do we do that? Well, in the great Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say? God gives joy to those who ask for help. Try and make it on your own, you're stuffed. You will not live a joyful life. Don't be a rock or an island. What did Simon Garfunkel say? A rock never, an island feels no pain. Can't remember the exact words. If you live an independent life, you'll live a joyless life. If you rely on your own strength alone, all the best. Do you know the person who was the most, I don't want to say needy, that's not the right word, but the person who knew more than anyone else in history that they needed help from outside themselves was Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I only say what the Father says to me. Without the Father, I can do nothing. 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 The most joyful man who ever lives is Jesus Christ. The person who was the most vulnerable and open and asked for help was Jesus Christ. He's telling us the secret to the joy and power in his life if we're willing to listen. Who was the most and is the most broken-hearted man who ever lived? Jesus. Who wept over Jerusalem? Who wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus, openly in public for hundreds of people to see him, blubbered in front of hundreds of people for all to see him? Jesus. Who stood with his fellow leaders who were going to change the world, the 12 apostles, and cried in front of them unashamedly over Jerusalem, Jesus. Who is the most humble man who ever lives? Who knew his limitations more than any other man? Jesus. And so what has happened? He has inherited the whole earth. Who hungers and thirsts for justice more than any other human being? Jesus Christ. Why is Jesus most the most joyful, attractive, exuberant man who has ever lived? Because God gives joy to those who ask for help. God gives joy to those who are brokenhearted over sinfulness and brokenness in the world. Because God gives joy to those who know their limitations. And because God gives joy to those who hunger and thirst for justice. A song that I've been struck by recently by Phil Wickham is one which it's called The Jesus Way, and I've asked Em and the band to sing it in a few weeks' time, and it goes like this. The first few verses go like this. If you curse me, I will bless you. And if you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share your weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. Now, the first time I heard that song, I had one of those sort of moments, one of those sort of, oh my goodness, could I ever sing that? That sounds immensely challenging. And then, in that wonderful Northern Irish phrase, the Lord told me to catch myself on. I said, Nigel, this is a song you should sing with joy. If you curse me, then I will bless you. Why? Because it's the only way that I've discovered in which I can find joy. If you hurt me, I will forgive you. Why? Because the alternative is misery. If you hate me, then I will love you. Why? Because harboring hate causes deep corrosion on the inside of your soul, and it will kill you. It'll kill you physically, and it will kill you spiritually. Here's the thing that I've discovered, and I imagine you've discovered too. Hating and being bitter towards other people is utterly exhausting. It exhausts you. I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself today. Do not harbor bitterness. Do not hold a grudge, and do not be resentful. It will suck the joy and the life out of you. We know this. But it takes faith and courage and bravery to do the opposite. And yet you and I have discovered it's the only way to joy. And so this is a song that when we come to sing as a church family, I think we should sing it with joy and faith. It goes on, if you're helpless, I will defend you. Because actually, as it says in this wonderful, beautiful attitude that we're looking at today, God gives joy to those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, that mercy has two aspects to it. One is, God gives joy to those who forgive others who hurt them. And also God gives joy to those who help other people. You discover joy in doing that. Because we look away from ourselves and our own concerns, and we look towards the needs of others, and amazingly, joy comes. C.S. Lewis pointed out that in his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, that you never find joy by pursuing it. Joy is always a byproduct. Joy is always a surprise, hence the name of the book. So we live in a world which is pursuing joy, happiness, and it's becoming increasingly miserable. And as Stephen pointed out 2 weeks ago, that's official. Academic surveys have showed that decade by decade, the United Kingdom, we are becoming increasingly miserable. You remember what Stephen said 2 weeks ago? The United Kingdom is the most miserable place on earth apart from Azerbaijan. Is that right? It was? Azerbaijan? There was only one other place in the world more miserable than the UK. What the world is trying is not working. Part of the reason is because we live in a world that looks after number one, and also a world where grudges are prized and treasured and stroked and nurtured. And misery has come. So God gives joy to those who are merciful. As Nicky Gumbel says in that book about the Jesus lifestyle, it's not that we earn God's mercy. Rather, the fact that we forgive is evidence that we have been forgiven by God. When we see how much God has forgiven us, we cannot fail to have mercy on others. So, if you want more joy, forgive everybody who hurts you without hesitation, because that will bring joy to your life. And help other people. That will bring joy to your life. So, what's the other way, Jesus says, that we can step into joy? The next way, Jesus says, is, I'm paraphrasing this, be yourself. Be yourself. You know, one of the other things that's most exhausting in this world is trying to be someone that we think someone else wants us to be. Jesus says, God brings joy to those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. How does that work? When we are ourselves and let our guard down, other people get to see us as who we truly are, warts and all. And they get to know us, and we get to know them, warts and all. And something utterly beautiful happens in that. We get a glimpse of God. Why? Because the people who we're encountering are made in the image of God. And so as we increase in purity of heart, seeking to be ourselves, to be transparent, to take our masks down, to work no angles, but to be ourselves, then something utterly beautiful happens. The masks come off, and we have the courage to let people see us just the way we are. It takes faith. It takes courage. But if you want to see God, it's the only way. It brings utter joy. I imagine, I hope, all of us will have experienced this to some extent in our lives, perhaps through family life with our parents, with our children, with a spouse, with a close friend. In places in our lives, we have let people get to know the real us. And, oh my goodness, it is joy-giving. Why? Because wearing a mask is utterly exhausting. So, who is the person who was in history most truly themselves. Jesus. How was he so joyful? He wasn't pretending to be anybody else. With these beautiful attitudes, Jesus is inviting us into a life of joy. And boy, I think we need it. We've been given a new identity in Christ. A new identity in which we allow others to see us as we are. And in the midst of those relationships, God reveals himself to us. And there's nothing more attractive, satisfying, and addictive than joy. One thing the Lord's been impressing on me over these last number of weeks is this, and it relates to this theme. How do we change the world around us? How do we change our family, our workplace, our neighborhood, our city, our nation? How do we do that? If we had to sum it up in one word, I think the word I would choose is joy. So above all else, guard your heart. And be constantly asking yourself and the Lord, is my heart full of joy? Because I believe it's as uncomplicated as that. If you want to have a profound impact on the world for good, be joyful. But don't try it in your own strength. Only try this by going through the first beautiful attitude. Ask for help from God. And just keep asking for help from God. And ask for the Holy Spirit to stir up in your life. You see, whenever we try to be joyful in our own strength, you get what amounts to a lot of Northern Irish Christianity. It's seeking to be like Jesus without the strength of Jesus. And if you look around at a lot of people who are Christians in Northern Ireland, you might say, I don't see a lot of joy. And we all fall in that. I constantly fall into that trap. Where I try to be like Jesus, but I do it in my own strength. It's called legalism, and it's exhausting. And one of the greatest remedies is to ask the Lord for help to be joyful and not pretend to be anyone we're not. And amazingly, that will lead to immense joy and immense freedom. It's like those, if you watch on TV, someone try to do something which is a dangerous feat. Quite often someone will say, or there'll be a little subtitle that comes on and says, do not try this at home. Or if something is costly, ask for the bill payer's permission. Do not try to live a life of joy like Jesus without the help of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that he's placed in you. So here's the thing. You have all that you need to live a life of joy. It does not require a change of circumstances. You will always be experiencing difficult circumstances. Jesus even said to his disciples, Be encouraged, little flock. Do not be afraid. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. As Christ was nailed to the cross for our sins, he still was in a place of utter joy, speaking to one of his best friends, "Look after my mother. Look after this boy. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Do you want to live a life that remains joyful, even if you were mocked, spat upon, whipped, and nailed to a cross? Then give your life to Christ, and keep giving your life to Christ, and keep being stirred up by the Holy Spirit of him who is in you, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Let's pray.